Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
When we pray for his kingdom to come, we're really praying for two things. Since we understand the kingdom comes in two stages, we're praying for both stages. We're praying that there will be more and more obedience to the king on the ship here and now, and we're also praying that we would get to port as soon as possible. Well, if that's what we want, and that's what we pray, how does the Lord answer those prayers? What tool does he use to bring about his kingdom? Well, I'll tell you one tool he doesn't use, and that's the tool that all the other kingdoms of the world do use. This king does not increase his kingdom the same way that earthly kingdoms are increased. All of the kingdoms in this world are advanced through the sword. Every one of them. No exceptions. That's how it works in this earthly kingdom. Alexander the Great didn't take over the world by knocking on the doors of all the various capitals and saying, "May I please have this place?" You know, that's not how it works. No world empire was ever established without military conquest, but Jesus' kingdom on this ship, here and now, is different. It's different. John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." So when Muhammad commands his followers to kill the infidels, Jesus commands his followers to die for the infidels, to die for the heathen, to lay down our lives. We don't kill them. We lay down our lives in missions to reach them so that they might live. So, not through the sword. So if it's not through the sword, how does the king increase his kingdom here and now? What tool does he use? Well, the tool he uses is not the sword. Instead of the sword, what it is the church. The church. We bring about more and more obedience to the king while we're on the ship through evangelism and building the saints. Evangelism gets more and more people following the captain, and building up the saints gets those people who are following the captain to be more and more obedient to the captain. So we're increasing obedience to this king on the ship through evangelism and building up the saints. And both of those are important. Both are necessary. Winning the lost and building the saints. We don't ever want to get so we're neglecting one or the other. We don't ever want to become apathetic about winning the lost. In parables of the kingdom of Matthew 13, they're all about expanding. You know, broadcasting seed. That's the gospel. And so more and more hearts come to life. That's, you know, a mustard seed. Starting small, getting big. Yeast working through the whole batch of dough. Expansion, expansion. Getting more souls on board with following this king on the ship. Evangelism, that's important. Building the kingdom here now means winning souls. But that's not our only task. In fact, it's not even our main task. You just read the New Testament and you'll see that the vast majority of what the church is commanded to do is ministry to the church, to the saints. If we get too wrapped up in just evangelism, so that we just get a whole lot of people won over to the captain's side, but all these people that come over to the captain's side are mostly disobedient to the captain, then the ship is not going to resemble his kingdom back home at all, right? Because there's not very much obedience. If we get so consumed with winning the lost and we neglect the ministry to the saints, we end up, basically what we end up with is huge disobedient churches. Is that building the kingdom? To develop a huge disobedient church? No, it misses the whole point. The point is to bring about more and more obedience to Christ on this ship of human history. So if you're concerned with building the kingdom of God here and now, you cannot neglect the importance of spiritual growth and maturity in the church. The kingdom is not merely a matter of the number of souls. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're not increasing the amount of righteousness and peace and joy in the saints, you're not advancing the kingdom. So both are important. So, how does the kingdom advance its kingdom here and now? The first stage of the kingdom, It's through the church, winning the lost and building up the saints. But what about the ultimate answer to this prayer? The final stage of the kingdom, getting the ship to port, wrapping up human history and getting to the second coming. What's his tool for getting that done? We're praying for it, and then he answers the prayer. How does he answer the prayer? Do we have a role in that? Do you and I have a role in bringing about the second coming sooner? Amazingly, yes. We do. Did you know that the Lord is going to use the church to bring about his second coming? There are two things that we can do that will expedite the second coming. Hurry it up. First one is evangelism, calling people to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's waiting for people to repent. God is delaying the second coming because in his great patience, he's waiting for people to repent. So we preach sermons like Peter preached in Acts 3, verse 19, when he said, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." This is after Jesus' first coming. This is talking about the second coming. Repent so that he'll send Christ back. When times of refreshing come, we get to the port, we get to the kingdom, we get to the paradise. So by proclaiming the gospel and bringing people to repentance, we hasten the second coming. Romans 11 says that God is waiting until the full number of the Gentiles comes in. And after that, the whole nation of Israel will come to faith in Christ. Romans 11, 25 and 26. That's when he'll return. He'll return when all of Israel says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Luke 13, 35 says, "I'm not going to come until I hear Israel saying that." Matthew 24, 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come." So how do we hasten the second coming? How do we get the ship to port? How do we wrap up human history soon? Through evangelism. One way is through evangelism, preaching the gospel throughout the world, sharing our faith with people at work and at school, our families. Maybe you got someone in your family, and Christ wants that person in the kingdom, and he's not going to come back until you go and share the gospel with that person. That's one thing we can do to hurry up the second coming, hasten it. There's one other thing that we can do. It's in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3:11 says this, fascinating verse. It says, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to look forward to the day of God and speed its coming by living in holiness and godliness." Now, your translation might not read exactly like that, but I'm not going to give a big explanation. If you want an explanation of the grammar of that, why it has to be that way, then I'd be happy to give you that. But grammatically, it's clear. You ought to speed the coming of Christ by living in holiness and godliness. We hasten the coming of the Lord by striving to live holy, godly, spotless, blameless lives. Not only is he waiting for a certain number of Gentiles and Jews to be saved before he returns, he's also waiting for his bride to attain a certain level of godliness before he comes. That's why Ephesians 4 says the main purpose of the church is to bring the church to maturity. I mean, you just read Ephesians 4 and it's maturity, 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 over and over again. That's the goal. Why? So that we can attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So how do we do that? What do we do to bring about more of the kingdom of God here and now, more obedience on the ship here and now? We do it by building up the saints and by proclaiming the gospel. The way that we hasten the final form of the kingdom is the same two ways: winning the lost and building the saints. So if we truly desire this kingdom, we will pray. Let it happen. Let your kingdom come. And when we pray, your kingdom come, we will be willing and eager to be the very answers to that prayer, to be used by God to be the very answers to our own prayer. And that reminds us that it's not us doing it. Even though we're being used to do it, it's God who's using us to do it. It's Him that's accomplishing it. All right. So, point one, the kingdom. Point two, come. How about your? Point three, your kingdom. We pray, your kingdom come, not our kingdom come. We're not praying about earthly kingdoms. We're not praying here about the United States. You can tell when you're becoming too earthly-minded when you get more concerned with what's going on in the United States than with the kingdom of God. That's bad. If you're into politics, then it's very easy for those of us who are interested in politics to get wrapped up, just get so wrapped up in this earthly kingdom of the United States that we're paying more attention to the news than to the Bible. And we confuse patriotism sometimes with godliness. I heard John MacArthur once say, I would rather read a 500-year-old book on the kingdom of God than any newspaper. It's more relevant. Some people look around and see unqualified men in leadership and the church, and they don't think anything of it. But boy, if the wrong guy gets elected president of the United States, they're in a panic attack. They're more interested in the Tea Party movement than a corporate prayer at church. And all their joy is tied to what happens in the United States. Their political party wins, they're elated. If their political party loses, they go into depression. You don't want to hitch your wagon to any earthly kingdom, believe me. At the second coming, just read it. It comes down to God versus all the kingdoms of this world. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that. United States, I mean, I love the United States. I love this country, and I'm as patriotic as the next guy, but United States is going to go the way of all the other earthly kingdoms. It's either going to be defeated by some other nation someday, or it's going to be destroyed by Christ when He returns. One of the two. Now, should we pray for God to bless this country? Absolutely. Should we work toward the success and the prosperity of the United States? Yes, I think we should. Human governments have been established by God, Romans 13, for the purposes of maintaining justice so that the weak don't have to suffer injustice at the hands of the strong. That's a good thing. That's God's doing. So to the degree that our government is faithful to that, we're glad to see them succeed in it. But compared to the work that goes on here in the church, everything the United States government, everything that happens in Washington, D.C., in our United States government, is very, very small compared to what's taking place here this morning in this building. The greatest empire in the world that this world has ever seen compared to the kingdom of God is like an anthill compared to Los Angeles. It's nothing. And our citizenship is in heaven, not here. We are strangers and aliens here in the United States in this little anthill called the United States. That's why when the Jews tried to make Jesus their earthly king, He refused. They wanted Him to head up an earthly kingdom, and He wasn't interested in that. I mean, if you're already the governor of Los Angeles, you're not interested in taking over an anthill. Especially if the ants insist on calling all the shots and giving the orders.
The overall task of the church is to build the kingdom in its current stage and to hasten the arrival of the final stage of the kingdom. This is done through winning the lost and building up the saints. So, a couple questions. First, what role do you think God designed you to play in the overall machinery of the church as it works towards those objectives? And number two, take a moment to pray this prayer, Your Kingdom Come. Then give some thought to how willing you are to be a tool that God uses to answer that prayer.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.